Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Let's do a little bit of Bible study before I make declarations tonight. One thing God wants to do from this service is to put the mark of distinction on your life. You know, there is a time when God decides to make a clear difference between them that are His and them that are not. Maybe we should begin from Malachi chapter 3 from verse 16. Let's read a few scriptures from there very quickly. It said, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another." And it said, "And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name." Go to verse 17. It said, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Verse 18. It said, "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." So there are times when what God wants to do is to put a mark of distinction on your life so that you become the proof of his faithfulness, you become the proof of his loving kindness, you become the proof of his abilities in this world where many spirits are making boast of their powers. Today is one of such days. Some of you will leave this service and something will happen to you that you cannot explain, but it cannot be denied. Some of the testimonies we have recorded in the course of this 30 days fasting has truly been humbling. People that have been without jobs, some for decades, 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, suddenly, some without applying, they were called and given jobs. Terminal infirmities addressed, terrible sicknesses dealt with, strange favors that looks almost impossible. I was coming in from Enugu this morning and one of our sisters here called me. For security reasons, I won't call her out, but we know what we are talking about. A land that the mom bought for 2 million naira in 2005. They wanted to sell it, but the IPOP guys instituted some infrastructures around there, so there was contention. Everybody was afraid. Nobody wanted to buy it. And it became an issue. And they needed money. They brought down the money from the current what? Yet nobody would want to buy. And she called me and we prayed over the matter. Made some declarations. She called me today to tell me that the land was not just bought, but it was bought at a price that they would not ordinarily dare put on. They bought the land for 220 million. A land that was bought for 2 million was sold for what? 200. Now, when you see such things, it's when they show you the check. Even you who sold the land, if when you receive a lot, you will tell yourself, this thing is true. That's the kind of thing God will begin to do for someone. He said, you will return and then you will discern between the righteous and the wicked, between them that serve the Lord and them that serve Him not. A time has come when Christianity can no longer be just talking. There has to be marks. There has to be signs. There has to be proofs that show that the God we call upon is not a dead God. There has to be proof that this thing we are doing is not just another religious activity that is done by another religious group. They have to begin to see undeniable evidences to show them that prayer is not religion. To show them that coming to church, serving in the house of God is not stupidity. When they see your life and they cannot explain the things happening with you, they will have no choice but to respect your God. They will have no choice but to respect the things that you indulge in. Some people will start following you to the place of prayer, not just because they want to pray, but because of the things they will see in your life. They will know that, I don't know how he prays, this is prayer, but this prayer is producing a result. People will start coming to you and say, we want to worship your God. Not because you preach to them, but when they see your life, you were at the same level 3 years ago. When they check 1 year later, you are 10 times bigger. When they check 2 years later, you are 100 times bigger. This third year, you are 1,000 times bigger. They advise themselves and say, wait. Anything you are doing, so long as you are calling on the name of the Lord and it's changing your story like this, I want to do that thing. So many will serve your God not because you are a good preacher. They will serve your God because of the evidences your life will command. This is that day when you will return and you will discern between the righteous and the unrighteous. You will discern between them that serve God and them that serve Him not. Do you know why some people don't want to do what we are doing? When they look at our life, there's no proof. We are sick as they are sick. We are falling into sin as they are falling. We are as broke as they are broke. But God is about to lift somebody up. So that when they are sick, you are healthy. When they are broke, you are rich. When they are falling into sin, you are basking in righteousness. And then we have no choice and say, this your God is too good. I want to know Him. I decree you are that person. Jesus didn't send out Christians. He sent out witnesses. He said, go into all the world and be witnesses unto me. He sent you to validate the scripture, so that when they see your life, they will no longer be able to argue with scripture. If you were sick and suddenly you woke up and you became completely healthy, and they said, how? You say, God healed me. They will no longer be able to argue with scripture. If you were broke and suddenly God shifts you and you suddenly become wealthy, not because you went into Yahoo, not because you went into any fraudulent thing, but genuinely you became wealthy, and they say, how? You say, God gave me wisdom, God gave me connection, God gave me favor. They will not be able to argue with the scriptures that said, although rich as he was, he became poor, that you too might become rich. When they see that you were sick, but now you are evidently healed, they will not be able to argue with the scripture that says, by his stripes you were healed. When they see others falling into sin and you are blazing in righteousness, and they can verify that you don't compromise when everybody is compromising, they will know that truly that spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in man. Your life will become that proof. This is where we have come to, and you will manifest it, you will prove it, you will demonstrate it in the name of Jesus. My God.
That's who you are.
That's who you are.
That's who you are.
Oh, him in the
earth. Oh, him in the earth. Oh, Father, give up. That's who you are.
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 Oh, you mean
the air. Oh, you mean the air.
That's who you are.
That's who you are.
That's who you are. Song is calling God the river that never runs dry. You know, if you come to me 1 month ago, I give you money. You come the next week, I give you money. You come the other week, I will tell you, Oga, where the money is coming from. Don't you think it finishes? Because nobody can keep giving and keep giving. But there is one that the more he gives, the more he wants to give. The more he blesses, the more he wants to bless. That's the everlasting fountain. That's the everlasting river. That's the everlasting sea. He never runs dry. He said there is a river by the throne of God. The tributaries make it glad the cities of God. Some of you are hearing me now. You can't even pay your house rent. You can't even pay the rent of where you are staying. But as surely as the Lord liveth, between now and the next 7 days, your situation will turn around. Some of you are hearing me now. You don't even know if you will live to see tomorrow, because the doctors have given up on you. But as surely as the Lord liveth, before the next 7 days, your situation will turn around. I declare by the Spirit, step into a higher level now. Step into a higher realm now. Step into a higher dimension now. In the name of Jesus. Down for a moment. Something will come on somebody tonight. I'm telling you, something will come on someone tonight by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me open some scriptures first. Let me open some scriptures. I always love people to understand it so they can apply it. He said, you will return and you will discern between the righteous and and the unrighteous. Malachi 3:18. Between them that serve the Lord and them that serve him not. There are forces in this realm that makes a man become a wonder. There are forces. This is not a fluke. This is a definite spiritual reality. So that when it happens to you and you understand it, you can replicate it anywhere. If you are not able to replicate it anywhere, you are not yet there. This is why when God speaks or when God wrought an act of wonder, he brings us doctrinal revelation so we know how to handle it and exercise it. So there are definite forces that brings you to this spot where your life becomes the proof of everything God claims in scriptures. And these are the forces that truly makes us believers and disciples of Jesus Christ. There are three of them. I will name them and deal with one tonight. The three spiritual forces that makes for an outstanding life is number one, knowledge. Find anybody who understands the secrets of God. Find anybody who understands the ways of God. His life cannot be a wonder, but a wonder. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. It said, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things, not some things, all things that pertains to life and godliness. It said, but all these things that pertains to life and godliness is through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So the bridge between where you are and glory is knowledge. The moment knowledge comes, knowledge can take you from obscurity to glory. The moment knowledge comes, knowledge can take you from wasted living to glorious living. He said, according the power and the authority for it has been released. He said, but accessing it is through knowledge. No wonder Jesus teaching in John 8:32. He said, thou shalt know the truth. And he said, the truth shall make you free. The moment you access knowledge, freedom, salvation, liberty becomes a guarantee. Find people whose life is not proving God's word. There is ignorance at the foundation. The moment knowledge comes, access to glory becomes available. The moment knowledge comes, glorious life, glorious living becomes a byproduct. And so every Christian must contend for spiritual knowledge. The quality of our life is a function of the knowledge that we have. All of our crises and perils are an alarm system that ignorance is dominating us. The moment knowledge comes, the crisis will vanish. So the first force for a glorious life in the spirit is knowledge. The scripture I told them to read in 1 Peter 3:15. Peter was painting a scripture that when you have this knowledge, you will advance with it. And anybody you engage, if he chooses not to accept, he will not accept because it's not provable or because you have not proven it. He will not accept because he chose not to accept. But you will know enough to clear every doubt. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart that you may be ready to show, to prove to any man, anybody that wants to ask, anybody that wants to challenge what you believe, is they know enough to produce an answer of the hope that is in you. Why I pray, there is knowledge to defend it. Why I fast, there's knowledge to defend it. Why I give, there's knowledge to defend it. Why I serve in the house of God, there's knowledge. I'm not a religious pygot. I'm not doing what I'm doing because I'm brainwashed. I'm doing what I'm doing because I have understanding. And if you will sit down with me, I will show you that you are wrong for not serving God. That's what Christianity should be about. That everything we do at the foundation is a definite revelation that cannot be refuted in any quarters. When you get to that level, you say your life will be a wonder. This is why there must be zero tolerance level for ignorance in this kingdom. Even the devil, when he comes to challenge you, the question is to ask what you know. When the devil brings any challenge in your life, he's trying to ask you a question. If he brings sickness, he's asking you a question. What do you know about healing? What do you know about divine health? If he brings poverty, he's trying to ask you a question. And by all means, make sure there is sufficient revelation. Please, don't be a religious man. Don't be carried away with what is happening. Don't follow trends, even if they are in the house of God. Ask yourself, what is the revelation behind this? Why must I give first fruit? Why must I give tithe? Why must I come to church with offering? Ask yourself, why must I pray in tongues every day? Why must I pray for long? Why must I read the Bible? Why must I be part of the fellowship? Why must I come to church? And why must I be part of a department? There should be knowledge so that when you are doing it, you can release power. It is no longer just an activity done out of religion. Rather, it's a revelation manifested through service. And if you get there, nothing can stop you. The first force of glorious existence is knowledge. And not just knowledge, but the knowledge of the holy. The reason many are defeated in life is because they don't have revelation for what they are doing. What they are doing is right. What they are doing is good. What they are doing is what they should do. But there's no revelation. And so the moment there is a contrary force, they spiral into confusion and uncertainty. And in that state of confusion, even God can't help them. He said, let no man that waver think he can receive anything from God. He said, when you are tossed to and fro like the wave, even God can't help you. This is why you must have knowledge. In Hebrews 11:6, he said, whoever cometh to him must believe that he is. And he must know that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There has got to be knowledge at the foundation of all that you do. Christianity is not a mindless move. Even in faith, the Bible says, through faith we understand. So there is an understanding that faith brings. Never get yourself to a point where you assume that Christianity is a mindless move. We can defend what we believe. Any day we are demanded. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, that you may be able and ready to answer anyone that challenges you of the hope that you have. He said, because you know it well. Don't do it aggressively. He said, do it with meekness and fear. That means when they are shouting, tell them, calm down. When they keep quiet, you talk to them and they see their ignorance. They will have no choice but to submit. Knowledge. Number two, force that makes you a wonder is power. 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 Please, take these things I'm telling you seriously so that you don't regret following God. Not because God is not enough. Not because God is not all what you desire or what you should have. But because you cannot prove, you cannot verify, and you cannot demonstrate what you have spent all your life doing. Please, understand these things I tell you. Believe them and commit to having them find expression in your life. The second thing that makes your life a wonder is power. Every spirit knows that without power, you are a slave in the realm. After Jesus discipled them, I've said this again and again, and I will say it yet again. 3 years of discipleship. He said, don't go out with lecture notes. Luke 24:49. Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Most of the questions of life is not answered with English language. Most of the questions of life is answered with power. 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 You must understand this. In fact, Paul teaching, like we saw last week, Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Not because it is intellectual. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So if what we have does not manifest as power, then we are in trouble. We would have set ourselves up. In 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 1, he said, when I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. He said, I choose to know nothing among you, save Christ and him crucified. He said, my preaching and my teaching were not with enticing words of human wisdom. They were in the demonstration of the spirit and power. If there is no power there, you are in trouble. This thing of wearing suit and acting to impress people, the day the need for power comes, better have it. Otherwise, you will either pack out of that ministry in shame, or you will pack out with sickness and death. There are certain challenges that come to you. If you don't have power, it will put you to shame. Those are simple challenges. There are other challenges that come to you. If you don't have power, they won't forgive you. There are certain spirit entities you have made too much noise around, and they come to check what you have. You don't have power. They will not bless you with disgrace. They will make sure you live with an affliction. He said the sons of Sceva, they thought this thing is about speaking English or calling some names, until they confronted a demoniac. And the guy looked at them. By what authority have you come here? What brought you here? And they said, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Who told you you have to quote the Jesus of Paul? Do you know him? What has he given to you? The moment he discovered they didn't have, he didn't disgrace them. The Bible said the spirit possessed pounced on them, beat them, tore their clothes and injured them. Number one, their ministries end that day because the news went abroad. Number two, they were bodily damaged to a very serious degree. See, these things we do is not to create impression, is to make impact. And the only way you make impact is by power. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is not with enticing words of human wisdom. The gospel is the demonstration of the spirit and power. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not talking. He said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick shall recover. In my name, they shall drink deadly things, they shall not hurt them. In my name, they shall step upon scorpions and serpents, they shall not be hurt. How many of you noticed that the four credentials were all power oriented? Everything was power oriented. Because the reason you will stand out is because there is a power at work in you. And you know the glorious thing? This power is already there. Our job is to know how to activate it. Our job is to know how to release it. If we were going to begin to negotiate for power, it would have been difficult. But thank God, he said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. So when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive power. Now, the reason we talk power is to teach you how to release it, because it's already on your inside. So many Christians that are powerless are not powerless because there's no power in them. They are powerless because they have not released power. If you study Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6 from verse 3, when they wanted to ordain the deacons, you will notice a strange qualification that was given. And then, as you study down, you are going to notice that there was a change in ingredients. It said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men. Number one, honest report, character. Number two, full of the Holy Ghost. Number three, full of what? Wisdom. So the men that the commission had honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom. Go to verse 8. You will see what happened to Stephen. And Stephen, full of faith and power, was not there. But the man knew something. There was something Stephen did that changed full of the Holy Ghost to full of what? Faith and power. So the Holy Ghost was not just there as a person. The Holy Ghost was also there as a power resource. So when Stephen became a deacon, there was something Stephen began to do that converted the Holy Ghost essence to not just spirit essence, but to faith and power essence. It was on the strength of that that the Bible said he did great wonders and miracles. How many of you noticed that seven men were chosen in verse 3? How many are called here? One. When power comes, you stand out. When power comes, you become the example of your generation. Many have wisdom, they stop there. Many have good report, they stop there. Many are full of the Holy Ghost, they stop there. Jesus had all of this, nobody knew him. For 30 years, he was sinless. For 30 years, there was no guile. For 30 years, there was no iniquity. But nobody knew him. Nobody cared about him. But in Luke 4:14, he said, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people that sat in darkness, they didn't meet another wise man. They didn't meet another man of character. All of that is necessary and is a requisite aspect of Christianity. But what can affect darkness has one language, is called power. What can affect your generation has one language, is called power. He said he returned in the power of the Spirit. He went up with wisdom. He went up with character. He went up full of the Holy Ghost. Hope you know that when he was baptized at Jordan, the Holy Ghost came upon him. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. But he knew that if he goes out with wisdom, the Holy Ghost and character, he will be in trouble. So there was a processing that he took himself through. He underwent a processing. When he finished that processing, he returned, no longer full of the Holy Ghost alone. The Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. That was what shifted darkness from his territory. The reason most of us are not manifesting what we should manifest is because we are full of the Holy Ghost. We have not processed the Holy Ghost into power. Meanwhile, what the world is looking for is power. The Holy Ghost hides on your inside, but he releases power from within you. It's like having crude oil. Take crude oil to the market, it doesn't have much value. But there is something you subject crude oil to. And after a while, bitumen will come out. After a while, liquefied natural gas will come out. After a while, kerosene will come out. After a while, diesel. There are over 90 things in that raw material. Most people are moving about full of the Holy Ghost. There's no power. This is why their Christianity is not making impact. Somebody must tell himself, whatever it takes in God to manifest power, I must see it happen in my life. When we started the 30 days fast, nobody came there to hear a new teaching. They had heard it. People who came with sickness. People who came with terrible issues. Some of them financial issues. Some of them health issues. Some of them terrible issues. It's when they send in the testimonies, you look. Just today, somebody sent a message. Had a heart condition. Terrible heart condition. You know what she told me? When I came to UK invasion, I had a strong encounter. I thank God for it. But what she was looking for was a brand new heart. And so she thanked God for the encounter, but she continued until the Holy Ghost hit her and she went to the hospital. When the doctor checked, even the doctor became dumbfounded. She asked the doctor, "Don't you believe in Jesus?" The doctor couldn't answer because he was too atheist to answer. However, she couldn't deny that the woman's heart had changed. We are full of talk and no power. That's why the world is making mockery of us. But the good news is that the power is already there. It's just how to manifest it. And tonight, I want to show you how to manifest power. I want to show who is hungry here. I don't know who is hungry, but I want to show someone how to manifest power. I have not seen all of it, but I've seen a measure. Trust me, I know something about this subject. Moment. The second force of the Spirit that makes you a wonder is power. And the third dimension of God that makes you a wonder is love. Jesus speaking in John 13:35, he said, "Hearing will the world know that you are my disciples." He said, "When you love one another." If there's no love in us, it means externally we are strong, but internally we are weak. Miracles, signs, and wonders are external manifestation of power. Love is an internal manifestation of power. And I can tell you that internal manifestation is superior to external. There are many bitter people raising the dead. There are many unforgiving people casting out devils. There are many terrible people who are praying for the sick and they are recovering. But Jesus said, you don't only have the signs of miracles. He said you must also have the love signs. And he showed us how to manifest them. Number one, forgive one another as we were forgiven. Number one, be kind towards others. Number three, be merciful towards others. Be generous towards others. Be patient towards others. All the fruits of the Spirit are love-oriented. And so if we want to be Christians that truly stand out, we must manifest these three very strong dimensions in God. Knowledge, power, and love. If your life can mirror these three things, go and sleep. You'll be a wonder. Nothing can stop you. Tonight, I don't have time. Let me talk about power. If you have power, you have all. Some of us, I am particularly interested in the subject of power. You know why? In my short life, I've seen too much wickedness from the devil. I just came back from the East. And I went to see a beloved aunt. For 4 years, she has had excruciating pain around her thighs. She cannot as much as come out of her bedroom. And she is there weeping and crying every day for hours. The moment I landed and they told me, I could not even as much as refresh. I stood up. I went to see what was wrong. How can you have pain around your thighs for 4 years? She can't lift the leg. And the thing is sucking her dry. Because of the excruciating pain she's going through. Sometimes she's bent over for 4 days. She can't even stand up to eat. And that's what impresses the devil. And you know what? I went, at first I was showing sympathy. And I wanted to pray. They now told me there was a woman. Anytime she comes, the thing becomes worse. I say, this is the department I like. If it is natural cause, we can trust God to release the anointing. But if there is wickedness there, then we can now give timeline. That when we start giving timeline, know that we have heard that there is a priest. So there is somebody here who is showing that the devil is strong. Something rose up on my inside. Holy vexation. Immediately, I looked at my dad. I said, with all due respect, sir, please wait outside for 10 minutes. Now we want to fight. Because I know he's not equipped for this battle. So I pleaded, they went outside. After 5 minutes, the house was boiling. Because I wanted to be clothed first. Because there are certain battles that you go with your armory. This one is not anointing. This one, you have to fight the altar first. You have to fight the priest. And when I ascended like a cherub, fire. If you apply yourself to it, see, spiritual thing is not zero. The thing is inside. When it is installed, when the moment comes, it will rise up. It's the thing inside that will be powering you. Anger, holy vexation. I didn't know when. Oh my God. When I finished praying, I said, get up. My God. I was angered. And after she stood up, I didn't stop there. I said, 7 days. If they don't repent, because I have sent some messages, the altar will catch fire.
And in 7 days, if they don't begin to repent, they will start having visitation. He says, suffer not the witch to leave. He says, shall the lawful captive be delivered? Shall the free be taken from the hands of the mighty? He says, don't fear the Lord. Even the captive of the mighty shall be delivered, and the free of the terrible shall be set free. He says, I will contend with them that contend with you. I will feed them with their flesh. I will cause them to drink of their blood. When they don't repent, they go down. That kind of wickedness, you are servicing it. You come every day, you see somebody dying. Ah! Somebody need a garment of power. Here, suffering any attack that there's a human agent involved, in 7 days, if they don't repent, we send a message in the spirit now. We send encounters in the spirit. If in 7 days they don't repent, the captivity will not only be torn, but judgment will visit them. In the name of Jesus. To the altar, those manipulations, invoke your certificate, put it under a tree, and then you, after laboring until you graduate from the university, sometimes you even make a first class, and they tell themselves, over my dead body for you to get a job, and then you come back after 10 years, you are still trekking. You have become a shadow of yourself. They look at you and tell you, my son, it is well. And when you go, they do like this. You imagine the wickedness. People you should support financially, you can't support them. People you should help, you can't help them. Some of you, you are due for marriage. They scatter your first relationship, scatter the second, scatter the third, scatter the fourth, and you are literally dying. Your pain is what satisfies them. Such people, if they don't repent, they are an abomination among men. In the name of Jesus the Lord, tonight, anything holding you back from being a distinction in your generation, let the hand of God be against them. Let the judgment of God fall upon them. Let the judgment of God fall upon them. In the name of Jesus. For a moment, shall the lawful captive be delivered? Shall the free be taken from the hands of the mighty? It's not me talking. He said, "Thus saith the Lord." He said, "Even the captive of the mighty shall be delivered." He said, "The free of the terrible shall be set free." Isaiah 49:24-26. He said, "I will feed them with their blood. I will cut them to eat of their flesh." Wickedness. The Lord rebuked them. Every potential here tonight must be realized. Every destiny here must be realized. The powers of wickedness, they will crumble before you. He said they looked up to him and their faces were radiant. And they were not ashamed. You will not be ashamed. This is the day of your visitation. Watch it and see.
Some of you in 7 days you will hear news. You will hear news. I came tonight with the rod of judgment. Every power holding your back, everyone laughing at your peril, everyone celebrating at your crisis, everyone dancing at your shame. You have not done anything to them. They have only chosen to be wicked. As surely as the Lord liveth, let there be vengeance by the Spirit of God. Let there be vengeance by the Spirit. He said, gather together, you will scatter. He said, take counsel together, it shall come to naught. He said, speak the word, it shall not stand. For our God is in our midst. Speak the word, it shall not stand. For our God is in our midst. It's not every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. If God opens your eyes, you will see how wicked people are. Listen, we are not killers. We preach the gospel of salvation that many may come to the knowledge of the truth. But there are some persons that have formed a pact with darkness, and they have told themselves over their dead bodies. For 20 innocent people to die because of the wickedness of one man, that man is an abomination among men. Your light will shine in this season. Your light will shine. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down. The force of knowledge, the force of power, the force of love. Let me talk to you about power briefly. I'm out of time. Time is gone. I'll just list them. The first thing that provokes power is revelational knowledge. You know, the first kind of knowledge I spoke about is doctrinal knowledge. Biblical exegesis, revelation of scripture. But you see, as beautiful as revelation of scripture is, there is a depth of power you can't journey to with that kind of knowledge. When we are talking the subject of power, you must know by revelation, by the revelation of the Spirit, experiential spirit knowledge. When God wants to introduce you to power, He begins to whisper things to your spirit. Those whispers that brings you into realms of exclusive understanding, those are the things that confer power to you. See, when you read scripture and they say wise men, they are not called wise men because they have gathered facts. No, they are called wise men because they can look into the spirit. They can isolate counsels from the heart of spirits because there's a connection between their spirit and the spirit that they interact with. When a man wants to begin to walk in the corridors of power, he must begin to receive breaking news from the Spirit. It is those exclusive revelational knowledge of God that imparts power. If you are going to a place to do spiritual battle and all you have is having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them. If all you have is in His name we can cast out devils, you will achieve much. But you know what? If the Spirit hides the source of its power from you, you will struggle. You may pray there for 7 days, nothing will happen. You may pray there for 14 days, nothing will happen. But the moment you enter there and the Holy Ghost says, stand in the middle and say, Jesus. That one is not in the textbook. It's a whisper. That's what makes men invincible. You know what Habakkuk said? Habakkuk chapter 3, from verse 2, 3, and 4. He told us something. Let's read it. He said, I have heard of thee. I have heard thy speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, he said, revive thy works in the midst of the years. He said, in the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Go to verse 3. He said, God, these ones are not written in books. These ones are revealed. God came from Teman. He said, the Holy One from Mount Paran. He said, His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of His praise. He has been given access to see things beyond the realms. The yonder dimensions have been opened. So He's now talking. He has become a commentator. What He's saying here is not quoting what another prophet wrote. He's talking about breaking news that is coming to Him from heaven. He said, Lord, the Lord descended from Teman. The Holy One came from the mountains of Paran. His glory filled the heaven, and He began to journey even deeper. Go to verse 4 and see what he said. He said, and his brightness was as the light. He said he had horns coming out of his hand. And he said, there is the hiding place of his power. Power is hidden. It's not a public thing. When you want to walk in power, the powers of God, there must be disclosures coming to you. And those who walk in power, they will tell you. You can have 10 people you want to minister to. The reason you have 100% record is not because you came with a doctrinal manual. The reason is because when you approach anyone, you will have a whisper. You can have 3 people who are demonized. You walk towards them. You hear the Holy Ghost say, lay hands on him. You will not talk. You will lay your hand. The demon will go. You will approach the next one. If you lay hands, you are in error. As you are approaching that one, the Holy Ghost will say, blow on him. The demon will go. As you are approaching the third one, the Holy Ghost will say, rebuke the spirit from his eyes. And so, when you find people who walk in power exclusively, their eyes are seeing. Their ears are hearing. This is why everybody who is a man of power, there is one place he dwells. In the secret place of the Most High. Because that's where disclosures come from. In Psalm 91, he said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he said he abides under the shadow of the Almighty. That is the man that says, he is my refuge and my fortress. That's not a doctrinal quotation. That kind of utterances are for those that dwell in the secret place. When you dwell there, you can say, God is my refuge. God is my fortress. In whom will I trust? He said that he will rebuke the arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that wasted in noonday. He said 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand. He's not talking to everybody. He's talking to them that dwell. Do you know why 1,000 will fall by your side? It's because there's a place where you stand. It's not everywhere you stand and 1,000 fall. That's why he told Moses, I will keep you by the cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hands. There are places where the Holy Ghost leads you to stand. When you stand there, although you are standing like a natural man, but in the spirit you are invincible. This is why those who see and hear, they are a wonder to their world. The first law of power is access to the realm. If you can't hear, if you can't see, you can't walk in power. Do you know why the devil wants to corrupt us? Because he knows that our weapon is tied to what we see and hear. And that's why anything you see today wants to contaminate your eye gate and your ear gate. Some of the noise that comes from the world, you think they are just coming, they are sponsored. Those are forces that darken the soul. You find a musician sing rubbish, he's not talking anything. I declare so, I demand so, I die, and he's got viral. And you see a whole generation singing, I decrease, I demand, I die. They don't even know what they are singing because there is a force pushing it. That person is an ambassador and they are using his soul as a platform to bring visitation to men. And you open your ears to it. Some people open their eyes to pornography and they think they can walk in power. Quote 1,000 scriptures, you'll be powerless. Because real power comes when you have disclosures. Everyone who walks in power has access to disclosures. Sometimes you wake up from the house, you are going out, and the Holy Ghost tells you, go back and recite Psalm 23. You will say you know it. You say no. Go and look at the scripture. There's no way you can teach that in the Bible school. If your journey in the spirit is your journey, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down. As you are chanting it, the movements begin in the heavens. Angels are mobilized. You go out, you don't know why you are not talking. Things are happening. It's because you heard something. Not everybody hear it. The secrets of God. That's what makes men powerful. And that's the first thing that brings you into the realm of power. The second thing that introduces you to power is faith in God. And this kind of faith, again, is not theoretical faith. It's experiential faith. Find people who have power with God. They will tell you how many places they have dared to step out. See, when you start exercising faith, a point will come when you will not have results until faith for you is no longer about answer. Faith for you will become a way of life. That's when you will start seeing power. You know why the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sensory perception? Because if you want to live the supernatural naturally, then you must live faith also naturally. So when you are exercising faith, it's not just about answer. Did you read about the heroes of faith? In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 39 and 40, He said, these ones died in faith. So they didn't get the results they were looking for. But they said, it's faith or faith. There's nothing that we can do outside of faith. So they kept doing it and doing it and doing it again until the devil became tired of them and said, these ones, they must keep doing it. That faith crystallizes power out of their spirit. And when their records are told, truly the writer said, time will fail me. Because their life became a compendium of impact. He said, time will fail me to speak of Gideon, to speak of Barak, to speak of Jephthah, to speak of Samuel, to speak of Samson, to speak of David and the prophet, who through faith subdued kingdom. There's a power that comes out of faith. Who through faith obtained promises, wrought righteousness, quenched the violence of fire, put to flight the armies of the alien. He said, weak men were made valiant in strength. Valiant. Valiant. Why do you think I can go for any meeting anywhere in the world and I can say in the name of Jesus, be healed? I said it many times, nobody was healed. A point came, God and the devil knew I won't stop. And so the devil backed out and God came in and said, please, this man will not stop. Did you not read the parable of the woman of prayer? In Luke 18:1, he said there was a woman. After he said men ought always to pray and not to faint, he said there was a woman in a city that was marginalized. He said, and there was a judge who didn't fear God or man. He said, but daily this woman troubled the judge. And a point came, the judge said to himself, I don't fear God. I'm not doing this thing because of God. But if I don't stop, this woman will not stop. So in order not to continue to suffer her weariness, let me just back out. See, there is a place you get to. You become too dogged. And God knows, Satan knows that you don't take no for an answer. And so because God knows that, God begins to honor you. The moment you talk, God answers. Because if we don't, we remain here. I tell you, these are the kinds of faith that the devil fears. Faith that is no longer result-oriented, but has become a lie. That kind of faith, even if God has not answered, the devil will run. Because he knows that if he stays there, he's wasting his resources. If you find a man of power 1,001 times, you will find a man of faith. And if they tell you their stories are not filled with answers. They are filled with many years of failure, but they will never say no. They are filled with, in every failure, they learned how to trust God better. In every failure, they learned how to deploy themselves better. And a point came, they became faith generals. Anything they say, anything they think, receives answer. Because they have perfected the way of faith. The second thing that makes for power in this kingdom is a faith that has no regard for answers or failure. It's a faith that has become a life. When you begin to walk by faith and not by sight, you will discover that everything you desire will happen. Because there is a power faith mobilizes. Jesus was speaking in Mark 11:24. He said, whatsoever ye desire. He said, believe. When you pray, he said, believe that you have received it. And he said, you will have it. Not believe to have it so that you have it. Believe that you have received it, then you will have it. It's the second law of power in this kingdom. The third pillar of power is intimacy with God. There is a measure of power that strangers can access, but there are other things that are for intimates. There are other things God is not willing to give. But if you are around God, you can use. Have you understood that kind of situation before? You live with a man. He can't dash you the car. But because you live in the same house, you can drive them. Have you experienced that before? All the cars I drive, the people who live in my house, we drive it together. But I won't give them. Do you understand? Why are they driving it? Because they are in my house. We are together. Sometimes when they are driving some of my cars, they wear dark lenses. Dark shade. Dark shade. And they drive and park with full speed. They brake. I changed ABS recently for over 2 million. I said, if you drive this car rough again, but they are still driving. When they reach, they will just stamp the brake and dust will follow. When the dust follow, and you are wondering, then somebody opens the door and come out with dark shade. You will think it's FBI. You have no choice but to say, well done. vehicle. They come down. I can't dash them. I can only give it if there is kingdom need. But you see, because we are together, they will drive it. Even if I don't want them to drive it, there are times when I want somebody to buy something and I can't go. And so when I look around, they are the ones in the house. And I need them to buy it quickly. I'll say, so, buy something and come. They will go back to dark shade and go back to cruise mode. When you become intimate with God, even the dimensions of power that He doesn't give, you will manifest it. That's how it works. Because you are there. Did you read what Jesus told the disciples? He said, you are no longer servants. He said, you have become my friends. He said, for the servant does not know the secrets of the master. He said, but I have shared them with you. I'm not supposed to share them, but you are too around me not to know. There are certain things that you are too around. It cannot be withheld from you. It cannot. That's how power works. When you are intimate with God, anywhere He goes, you go. Anywhere He sees, anything He sees, He sees. And anything He handles, you can handle. This is why some men operate on earth like gods. It's a product of intimacy. They go with God everywhere and they carry God everywhere. So a point comes when they are not operating by an anointing. They are not operating by faith. They are not operating by revelation. They are operating in the glory realm. There are certain things happening. They are not even talking. The moment they stand and the atmosphere is prepared enough, God just begins to heal the sick. They are not the ones talking. Have you not seen ministers like that? They just walk into a healing meeting and they are just worshiping God. And when God begins to move, God can't see the sick and not heal the sick. So they are not necessarily exercising their faith. They just carry too much of God. They are too intimate with God. So when they are around, because God is around, so much of God is around, so much of God will begin to do things. Even they don't know. So you have to announce to them what God has done. Pastor, somebody just stood up from the wheelchair here. Really? What happened? He is hearing at the same time the congregation is hearing. But he came with too much of God. That's the realm Christians are supposed to walk in. Because we were not just sent. We were called to be with Him before we were sent. Mark 3:14. So when we go out and we are fortified with intimacy, there are certain things our revelation can't handle. They will still be done. There are certain things our faith can't handle. They will still be done. This is why at the center of power is intimacy. Go and study the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. Anybody you see manifest power was a friend of God. They were so close to God. They were so intimate. You know our problem? We pick 2-3 scriptures. We cram them. And we leave God. When challenges come, we invoke those scriptures, throw them at the challenges, and we are seeing what will happen. And many times, nothing happens. But if you are intimate with God, even when the scriptures don't come, God is already there. Yes, the scriptures were designed to bring God on the scene. You have already brought God. And so everything that should have happened when the revelation is in motion will begin to happen because you came with God. You came with His fullness. And because you came with His fullness, He cannot deny Himself. When He sees the sick, He will answer. When He sees the brokenhearted, He will attend to them. When He sees the helpless, He will attend to them because it's His nature. And your job is just to carry Him. And you carry Him around. That's one of the things that the children of Israel discovered. Everywhere they went to, they carried the Ark of the Covenant. The moment God enters the battlefield, they begin to win. It's no longer about bows and arrows. It's about God's presence. So they carry God's presence everywhere they go. A generation that knows God's presence will soon emerge. And when that generation emerges, most of the things that will happen in your life, trust me, you won't be able to explain them. You will just know that it was God. They ask you, how did it happen? You say, it was God. I went into the interview like everybody. In fact, I failed more questions, but it was me they picked. I went into that challenge like everybody. The problem is that you went with God. You carried too much of God there. And because God was there, He can't deny Himself. When Balaam was called to curse the Israelites, what did they do? Nothing. They did nothing. They were not even aware there was warfare. But when the sorcerer went up, he said, there's no enchantment against Israel. There's no divination against Jacob. Why? He said, the shout of the king is in their midst. When a man carries God, power becomes his byproduct. The reason we don't see power again is because, truly speaking, the friends of God are few. We have many preachers with many titles. We have many people quoting scriptures, but intimates of God are no longer there. Most of the preaching we do today is from human intelligence. And because we can say something that sounds intelligent, our generation will receive it. But those who are discerning know if God is talking. They can feel His energy. They can feel His vibration. They can feel His intensity. Because therein lies the power of God. In this fasting exercise we've had many persons sending testimonies of cessation of pornography, cessation of masturbation, because that thing was not about knowing what is right from what is good. It was a force that compelled them and kept them in captivity. But they came under a new atmosphere. So even though they have not grown in so much revelation, the force of masturbation could no longer subdue them. That's how power works. Carry much of God. Listen, weave God into your daily program. The psalmist said, day and night. He said, your meditation is what I carry to my bed. Even at night, he was thinking God. He was talking God. He was meditating God. Listen, there's a place of separating yourself to go and pray for 4 hours, for 5 hours, for 6 hours. There's a place for congregational fellowship. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about carrying God everywhere you go. Where you are talking to Him under your breath. Nobody even knows that something is happening, but you are high in the spirit. High. Maybe sometimes, once in a while, the thing overwhelms you and it shakes your body. Sometimes, once in a while, it flows out of your mouth. Jesus is Lord. That's when the person by your side will say, what's happening? He didn't know that you were far in the spirit. Sometimes, you are sitting with them. Thank you, Jesus. You carry your book, you start writing. Because God is talking. And you have to write fast, not to forget. That's when the person will know that, you were here, but you were not with us. Because you have to be in many meetings, but not there. You have to be far away with God if you want to bring God's power to your realm. A consciousness and a deep intimate relationship. Number 4, what makes for kingdom power is consecration. When you begin to walk with God closely like that, because God does not want to lose you, what God will do is that He will give you laws. Those laws and principles that God gives to you is what we call consecration. See, when we are teaching in a general assembly like this, we can tell you fast, we can tell you pray, we can tell you give, we can tell you study, but that's not consecration. Any man who doesn't have intimacy with God cannot have a consecration. Consecration are laws that a spirit gives to you exclusively in order to keep your relationship with Him. In Judges chapter 13, when the angel came to Manoah's wife, he told her, don't drink any strong drink. And he said, when this child is born, Judges 13:5, he said, no razor shall come upon his head. This is not a doctrine for the whole children of Israel. This is a consecration for Samson's mother and for Samson. So Samson will go to the temple like every believer. Samson will carry out offerings like every Christian, like every believer of the time. But the day Samson cuts his head, he's finished. Because that one is a personal law that the Spirit gave him. It's a personal consecration. But you see, a Christian who doesn't have intimacy with God will not know anything about consecration. He can join a congregation to fast. That's good. He can join a congregation to give. That's good. He can join a congregational program of prayer. That's good. But he doesn't have a consecration. Because a spirit only gives you consecration if he knows that you have broken into his realm. So he wants to keep you there. You know why? You know too much. You're already a danger. Why do you think every soldier lives in a barrack? Why do you think military people live a regimented life? They have been too trained. They have been too exposed to military intelligence. They have been given too much access, so they cannot allow them. If you go missing, they will look for you. You know why? If you go into the camp of the enemy, that information will become a weapon against the army. So when a spirit discovers that you are his, that you have found him, and that he has become your obsession, what that spirit does in order to keep you is what we call consecration. For some of you here, your consecration may be quietness. It has nothing to do with prayer. God can tell you, don't enter any conversation until I command. So you can come to a place, they are discussing something that you are the master. It's not a sin, but it will violate your consecration. You have not done anything that is doctrinally an error. But as touching the code of intimacy, if you join that conversation, you have erred. And as you begin to yield to God more, you will discover that that thing will begin to eat you up. I told you my story before, how that I'm a football fan. There's nothing wrong with watching football. I can teach you as a Christian and tell you exercise some level of moderation. But I cannot come and tell you that it's an error to watch football. That would be very wrong. But you see, for me, to become a fan of a club now is a sin. Because when the spirit was wooing me, he discovered that football was already my obsession. And there were places he wanted to take me to that I could not have two lovers. I could not have two obsessions. Those days, you need to come to where we are watching football. You can't talk in the studio where we are. We download Arsenal records from 1845. We tell you, when we talk, you keep quiet. Because we knew it. They used to call me Skywide. I was the old oracle of football history. I will enter your club, discredit your record, and then make my own record superior to yours. They used to, you know, the analyst in ESPN those days was Tommy Smith. They used to call him Worldwide. So they were calling me Skywide because of record. But you see, when I wanted to enter the nations, when I wanted to begin to address certain princes in darkness, the Lord knew that in the height of football, sometimes we quarrel. Sometimes malice comes in. Sometimes insult comes. And you cannot afford to open your soul at that level of intensity. And so what he did was that he wrote a law. For you, you can no longer be a football fan. I try to violate it. I will go into the match and sleep off. I will go into the match and I will doze off. My appetites began to die. That was when I knew a spirit was involved. And as I began to press into God, if I watch one match this Saturday, watch another one next Saturday, I lose my peace. It looks as if I've killed somebody. It looks as if I've committed murder. And as I detached from that football, suddenly the realm opened. The oracles of God began to come to me. God will give me a message. I will have to go to the Bible to check the correctness of that message. Most of the messages I preach, the message comes to me. I look for scriptures to substantiate them. Because there is a level of intimacy that you will enter that the scrolls will come alive. The scrolls are no longer dead letters you read. The scrolls themselves come to you as the living word. You can't combine that with the obsession of football. When God wants to talk, you say, no, you want to argue football. That was too late. It's not because watching football was a sin, but there was a consecration. The realm you have come to, you can't combine it with football. See, if you allow God draw you deep enough to give you a consecration, your life will become a wonder. He said, kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth. He said, thy love is better than wine. He said, because of the savory ointment of thy name, he said, the virgins love you. He said, we will not remember the tales of the wine, but we will remember the intercourse we had with our God when we entered his bedchamber. There are things that are not for public. They are the whispers of God. And when God begins to whisper to you, God will create a circumference. There are friends you cannot have. There are places you cannot go to. There are associations you cannot belong to. Not because it's a sin, but there is a code that has been entrusted to you. And if you allow yourself to go there, you will lose it. And it will be an error. Because at that level, there are certain things you do, God will kill you. You know, grace is in levels. So if you understand grace, there is a realm you get to. If you violate God, grace will insist that you should be killed. Because if you are not killed, you may be eternally damned. So God will draw you home. In the days of Kenneth E. Hagin, there was a dangerous man that walked in the healing anointing. All the healing evangelists knew that he stood out. But his problem was gluttony. Is eating food a sin? No, it's not a sin. But if he makes food a priority, there are levels of the anointing he can't host. And God warned him, stop this gluttony. He couldn't stop. If he sees food, his body shakes. There was a time God sent Kenneth Hagin to warn him. Kenneth Hagin went to warn him until when he wouldn't stop. One day he was struck. And all the healing evangelists gathered to pray. Kenneth Hagin was walking to the altar to join them to pray. And the Holy Ghost said, no, he won't recover. He said, I told you to tell him, he didn't listen. That's grace at work. God will have to take you home so that his oracles and his witnesses in your life will not be sabotaged. See, we teach consecration at a kindergarten level. So today when you talk consecration, everybody talks fasting. Everybody talks prayer. No, consecration is not fasting. It's not prayer. Consecration is not giving. Consecration is not... No, consecration is a law that God gives you because of intimacy. That's why when you teach it doctrinally, you'll be wrong. Because you may say things that Doctrinally, it's not an error for others. Did you read about Samuel? He said, I will not sin against God by not praying for you. Why would not praying for somebody be a sin? Because of where he has come to. Samuel had become a raider over Israel. Did you remember that when Saul was pursuing David, the moment David entered Naioth in Ramah, the whole atmosphere was secure. So Samuel was not a person. He was a system. So God raised him as a covering. Because he had ascended to a level of a covering, if he doesn't pray, Israel will be exposed. For that reason, prayer for him is a law. So if Samuel tell you that prayer is consecration, he's talking it from the place of intimacy. But because we know that the people we are raising are children, we have to generalize consecration. If every one of us begin to build intimacy with God, and I call 10 people, 10 of them will give me 10 different laws. Somebody else will tell me that his consecration is that any money that comes to his hand, 50% must go to God. There is no teaching in the Bible that substantiates it. But that's his law. God has given him that law. Somebody else will tell me, every month, the first 6 days of the month, I'm not permitted to go out. I have to wait upon the Lord, and I have to write the names of all the countries in West Africa and pray for them. Is that a doctrine? No, it's a consecration. Because of his ranking in priesthood, because of the power that has been committed to him, that law is given to him. Somebody else will tell me that God told him that every week he must go to at least 3 hospitals to pray for the sick. Is it a sin not to go to the hospital? No, but it's a law. God has given it to him. If our Christianity will enter the threshold of power, one of the signs that we will know is that God will give us consecrations. And those consecrations will become your secret. There are some of them you cannot share. The day you share it in the public, it becomes a taboo. And because you have shared it, God can call you home. Because it's not a message for the public. It's a whisper of intimacy. So that you can be able to host certain dimensions of power. Job said, I have cut a covenant with my God that my eyes will not look upon the virgins. That's not a law. It's a personal consecration that God gave him. After that time, when people were marrying at will, not Job, there was a law. Even when his wife came and said nonsense, he didn't have the power to divorce her. Because for him, there was a consecration around women. And because of that, he said he was the greatest of all men from the east. The Bible said when Job spoke, his voice was like the rain. If he's done talking, no other person talks. He was the cardinal from the east. How did he come into that level of power? It was the weight of his consecration. As you begin to journey with God in intimacy, you will discover there are some prayer-oriented consecrations God will give you. There are some worship-oriented consecrations God will give you. There are some fasting-oriented consecrations. There are some giving-oriented consecrations. Those consecrations will become the pillars of your power. You can enter a place where you are not sensing God, but you can draw from the resources of your consecration. The anointing is not moving. The revelation is not coming. But as before God whom I stand, that's Elijah, drawing from consecration. There was no anointing on his head. There was no move of the Spirit. There was no revelation. But he knew there was a consecration. So when he said, before God whom I stand, it was the law that God gave him. I have not broken it. And he said, I speak from the strength of my consecration. He said, there shall be no rain or dew for a period until I give my word. And according to his word, there was no rain. Because before God whom he stand. What is your consecration with God? You think power is theology? You think power is about quoting 2 or 3 scriptures? No. The path of a spiritual man is narrow. It's narrow. Because if you will walk in power, you cannot have the liberty that everybody has. Your life will be tamed because of what God has put upon you. You will look at what men do that is not a sin, but you cannot do it. And most times, you cannot even explain it. So that you can keep wielding that power. The whole investment of power is already in you. But how much of it you can wield is a function of the weight of your consecration. The fifth thing that makes for power is covenant living. Covenant are the generic laws that God gives to his children. And so if you are a child of God, if you are part of the citizens of heaven, one of the ways it is known is by covenants. This is why we teach these things here. For example, the communion that we engage in is one of the covenants of the New Testament. He said, as often as you do this, you remember the Lord's death. So every time we want to bring the power of the death of Christ to motion, we break the communion. There's a power trapped in it because it's a covenant. That's why Jesus gave it to us. So there are, Jesus knows. See, the reason God does these things is because of his benevolence. He knows that not many persons will enter the realm of his voice. He knows that not many persons will have intimacy with him as at yet. He knows that not many persons will have a consecration that they live by. So he creates a generic order of consecration for the body of Christ, and he calls them covenants. So we have covenants of giving. We have covenants of the communion. We have covenants of fellowship. And as we obey those covenants, there is a measure of power we wield, because power is also locked into those covenants. This is why many times you study in scripture, you will hear that the Bible said, for example, Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. And it says, so shall thy barns be filled and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. So it's a covenant that provokes abundance. There is a level you will enter in intimacy that the wisdom of God can tell you what to do to be wealthy. But you may not have had access to God's voice. When you honor the Lord with your substance, the same thing that the man who hears God specifically in order to invest and make some money, you will also walk in it. Because you don't have access to God's voice, but there's a covenant available to everybody. He said, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, shall God cause men to give to you. There are some men that are walking in abundance. Why? Because while they are sleeping, an angel whispers to them, go and invest in crypto. Nobody knew about it. They bought Bitcoin 7 years ago. Today, one Bitcoin is over $30,000. They didn't even know that they would need it. But 7 years ago, an angel said, go and invest. It was when the angel even called crypto that they studied it. And they bought it and kept it. They wanted to sell it. They said, if you try it. And they didn't sell it until a day came. They had only 3 Bitcoin. And that Bitcoin gives them more than $70,000. And you are wondering, what did you do? A spirit whispered to him. You don't have access to that spirit as at that time. It doesn't mean you are finished. He now comes and said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Him that watereth shall by himself be watered unto. He said, give a portion to 7. Give a portion to 8. You know not the evil that will come upon the earth. So although you didn't hear an angel tell you, go into real estate. You didn't hear an angel told you, go into oil business. But you know a covenant that the liberal soul shall be made fat. You know a covenant that give it shall be given unto you. And you start scattering your seed. As you are scattering your seed, the same wisdom that that person who received the specific direction has will suddenly come to you. And both of you are prospering. One is using the power of revelation, another is using the power of covenant. This is how this kingdom works. If you want to walk in power, you cannot undermine covenants. Covenant practice is a sign of maturity. It's a sign that God can entrust much to you. And it's a sign that you can wield power. Finally, in order to walk in power, you must know how to sustain intensity. Anything God gives you, keep it burning. Paul, speaking to Timothy, he told him, it's a fan to flame the gift of God that is in you. There are many people that have so much of God in them, but they are ashes. They don't know how to fan to flame. So the wisdom that should attract kings is on his inside, but he has not intensified it. The power that will work wonders for gates of nations to open has always been inside, but there's no intensity. It was Paul that laid hands on Timothy in the company of the presbytery, but he told him, for you to walk in these dimensions is a fanny to flame. If you don't keep the intensity, you will not see the manifestation. This is why Hebrews 1:7, he said, he maketh his angel spirit his ministers, his public servants, his public witnesses. He said he made them to be a flame of fire. All of us sitting here have one gift or the other. The problem is that some of us are lukewarm. Others are on fire. This is why many times we teach people the way of prayer. We teach people the way of fasting. We teach people spiritual exercise. Not necessarily because we want to create a cult or create a religious movement. No. We know that there is something about intensity. That if you don't have intensity, flies will perch on your food. Because every fly knows that a food that is hot is a no-go area. When devils perch on you, it's not because power is not there. It's because there is no intensity. That's why I say building up yourself upon your most holy faith. The faith is there, but build yourself. And what did he say? Praying in the Holy Ghost. The word building up yourself is the word charging up yourself like a battery. Every battery in every phone here has enough cell to power the phone, but there are some phones that are dead. You know what to do to use your phone? You don't throw the battery away. No, the battery has the capacity. What you do is that you connect the battery to electricity. When the battery is charged, data will come alive. Calls will come alive. Touchlight will come alive. The problem with most of us is that our battery needs charging. There is word of knowledge there. There is gift of working of miracles there. There is gift of utterance there. There is favor there. There is wisdom there. But the battery is low. And because the battery is low, you can't carry the weight of power. The power was always there, but the battery is low. And so when you know this, you don't need to wait for church to go for 30 days fasting. You don't need to wait for church to go for 10 days prayer stretch. One Saturday you wake up, you say today is for charging, and you go away from the house. You don't want the distraction of anybody. Your friend can become a distraction. Your husband can become a distraction. Your wife can become a distraction. Because every cell phone has its own battery. So you step aside, because you check, you discover that you are just 2%. And if this battery goes down, network will be truncated. Meanwhile, God is talking about your future. God is talking about your business. Because you don't want network to be truncated, sometimes you step aside and nobody knows where you went to. Pakakasurua. Ereditikata, Azago Takaparata, Regatina Kabak, Rakato Stavaka, Riado Zaradina, and Zozo Varada. See, when you come back, everybody around you will know that the man that left is different from the one that came. You know what will happen? The first thing is that your eyes will be red. And I'm not just talking about normal redness. There is a spiritual redness. He said, to whom belongeth redness of eyes? He said, them that are drunk with the wine. There is a redness of eyes that comes when you are charged. And when demons see that redness, they know. Sometimes when you are coming, the ray of light on you illuminates. And so you walk into a place, the honor that you have not received before, suddenly you start receiving it. You know why? The glory was illuminated. The Bible said, 8 days later, Matthew 7 verse 17 verse 2, it said Jesus took them. That's the author of life. That's the creator of the heavens of the earth. But he knew the place of intensity. He took Peter, James and John and he went to a mountain and he said, there he prayed. And the Bible said, as he prayed, he said the passion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. He didn't need an encounter. He has been transfigured. At that level, if it comes down, demons we know. Men we know. They will know. See, any day that you are mantled, everybody knows. Everybody knows. Even you know you are not the same. You know. You know. There are days when I come for this service from 3 days of separation. Even you know. The weight of your words, you will feel it first. Before the people hearing you will feel it. And then anything you do, you are volatile. You are volatile. And there are other times when you come from the many activities of the day and you are just trying to stir yourself like something. You know the difference. If you want to be a wonder, keep your intensity. Leviticus 6:12, it said the fire on the altar must not be put out. It said the priest must put wood on it every morning. In Mark 1:35, it said early in the morning, Jesus went to a solitary place. There he prayed. You know what happened to the disciples? In Matthew 10, he gave them powers. They went and cast out devils. They thought it was always like that. In Matthew 17, a man brought his son that was deaf and dumb. They tried what they did in Matthew 10. They didn't have any result. They struggled. They didn't have any result. They didn't know where Jesus went to. Jesus was coming down from the mountain. It was Peter, James, and John that knew the secret. The moment Jesus came, the devil began to move around. He rebuked the devil once, he left. Because he knew the man coming was transfigured. See, there is too much in you that is dormant. You need to become angry with your lukewarmness. You need to become angry with your coldness. Listen, destiny is not about English language. Some people think spiritual things is about talking boldly. Some people think spiritual things is about speaking intelligently. You think spirits don't know language difference? But this 30 days fast we have been doing, no word of knowledge has fallen to the ground. The other day I was talking and I heard, somebody is here with body odor. It has gone. The lady came back and said, you said it. Most of the testimony you hear, you said it. So it's not just about sitting and say, somebody has eye condition, you are healed. Somebody has ear condition. They will clap. No testimony will come back. They prove that what you are saying came with fire. Is that every word you speak, there will be a corresponding testimony. That means that word was respected in the spirit realm. We are too cold. We are too lukewarm. That's why devils are playing around us. That's why demons are messing up around us. Listen, you don't even need anybody to lay hands on you. With what you carry now, bundle yourself to a place and tell yourself, in the next 7 days, this altar must catch fire. And start fasting. Start praying. I shared with some of my pastors my key. I have a 14 days Bible program that I run. Anytime my battery is dead, I read the New Testament in 14 days. I saturate myself with so much scripture that when I'm dreaming scripture. When I'm talking scripture. When I'm thinking scripture. And in those 14 days, I have periodic prayer. That was where I got the prayer gate from. Every 3 hours, there is a prayer investment into the spirit. If I do that thing for 14 days, even you know that I can't pass and you are standing. Because of the raging furnace that will be coming out. And then you are wondering, is this the same person? Yes, intensity level have changed. The problem is that most of us are lukewarm. Can we pray for 1 minute? I refuse to be rusty. Tell yourself, there is too much divine investment on my inside. I refuse to be rusty. Oh, he mean here. That's who you are. That's who you are. You know, there was something God told me one day that put so much fear in me. God told me, what if you go to heaven and you now discover everything you were celebrating on earth is 20% of what I gave you? What if you go to heaven and you discover you are supposed to continue from where Paul stopped? What if you who is watching me now, you sleep, you have one revelation and you call somebody. They say, yes, it's true. After 3 weeks, you sleep again. You have another revelation. And then you now go to heaven. They tell you that, you are the fourth person that should have continued from Maron Branham. You are not supposed to see visions sleeping. You are supposed to see them with your eyes open. But all your life, you didn't see one. You go to heaven, they tell you, you are supposed to be the sixth after Smith Wigglesworth. That the number of dead people allocated for you to raise were 45. But all your life, you went to the mortuary and prayed once, and the person didn't come back to life. And you didn't even know. And every time you want to see power, you quote Smith Wigglesworth. That Smith Wigglesworth raised the dead. Meanwhile, you were supposed to raise 45. What if you go to heaven and they tell you that you were supposed to carry out, you are the seventh descendant of Babalola's prayer ministry. That you were supposed to teach your generation not just to walk in by location, but to move realms into your atmosphere. Meanwhile, you didn't as much as touch it. What if you go to your generation and they tell you, you are supposed to be the eighth of the Wilberforce, that you have power to change government, that most of the things happening in Nigerian government, you had enough authority to speak and things will change. But you were part of those saying, we no go agree, because you never touched your power. That is when you will discover from heaven that your life was a waste. You will look back to earth and wish they gave you another chance. But this thing, he said, we were permitted to live once. He said, after that is judgment. I told myself, I will exhaust myself on earth. I won't go to heaven and discover there was one thing. Like Paul, before you go, you will tell yourself, it is finished. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. The only thing remaining now is the crown of life. But you see, it will take manifestation of power for it to happen. Imagine if God told you today that it was allocated to you to win 12 Muslim presidents. Imagine God tells you today that the Middle East, there are three of you that he gave it to. That means Dubai and UAE is your catchment area. But there is a power you need for the Emirates to recognize you, and you never touched it. You now go to heaven and said, I had a good job. You will hate heaven, because every day you will see what you should have been that you never became. Can we pray tonight for one thing? Lord, set me on fire. Intensity. Pray for only intensity. Start from what you have first. If you maximize what you have, your life can't be the same. Can we pray in the spirit? Lord, intensify this person. I refuse to be lukewarm. Oh, he mean it. My God, Jesus Christ. Do we have people praying? Do we have people praying? In Jesus' name. See, when you have intensity, everything about you becomes a conductor. I'm telling you. When God began to show me the design of man, and I understood why the Bible said we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you know why God is strict about your thinking? Your thinking is a channel of power. Do you know why God is conscious and strict about your talking? Your talking is a channel of power. Even anything you touch conducts power. The only difference is that some people conduct death, while others conduct life. If you know this, you will become careful. You will tell God every day to help what you think and help what you say. Can I show you something? So that you understand how intensity works. See, look up to me here. I will stretch my hand up. I won't need to say, Lord, touch. Hear this. Any number of finger I lift up, the hand of God will touch that number. I'm not talking. I'm using my mind. Because my mind is also a channel of power. And this is not manipulation. This is not mind game. I'm just showing you how the power works. Why you need to... When you are intense, you are like a naked wire. Any side of you that is touched, something happens. And that's the Christian life. And what I want to show you here, if you know it, you will apply it to anything in your life. Are you ready? Now just lift your hands toward heaven. I don't want you to struggle now, because the analytical mind has seen. Just look at me. That's all. Thank you, Father.
anything works. If I carry this handkerchief now, and I say, take, go and throw it there, it will transfer God's power. Look at those who just graduated. Let me help some of them now. Don't do anything. Just look at me and receive. That's all. Thank you, Father. I'm showing you how we do what we do. Do you know why we come for service and we say in the name of Jesus? Is to help your understanding. Because if we start doing some things, you will say we are witch doctors. So in order not to create argument, we do what you know. So we lay hands on people. We say in the name of Jesus, take. We don't need to do that. In the name of Jesus means we come in the Lord. Anything we do is supposed to work. That's why some people are become a bit rascal. They do like this, people fall. Because when you are on fire, when there is intensity, anything you do will work. Anything. If you think it will start happening. As I'm looking at you now, if I start thinking that pains will lead people, pains will start leaving people. As I'm looking at you now, if I start thinking that growth will melt, why do you think, I was teaching you the other time, I told you, why do you think cameramen don't fall? It's because we heal them off with our mind. They are working with us. We are not transferring to them. It's where we focus on that the power of God goes to. That's how it works. Those of you in the middle here, lift your hands. I will send the wave to you now. And 7 of them here will receive an activation of spiritual gifts. Some will start speaking in tongues. Some will start seeing. And some of them will receive favor that will cause them to step into realms of abundance. Why didn't he affect this room? I'm controlling it here. I don't need to talk. If I want to help your faith, I can say, don't see the video. Take, forget. It's deeper than that. Now, I want to shift you people. Those of you who just graduated. I want to bring you into spiritual offices. Because for some of you, this is your time of manifestation. God just wanted to humble you. That's why he brought you to the school. And so, Father, I open the gate of ministry to these ones. Such as I have, I give to them. 5 of you, by the number of grace, now receive something. Receive something. Receive something. Take in the name of Jesus. Take in the name of Jesus. I just want to be where you are. Dwelling daily in your presence.
I don't want to worship for my father.
Those of you on this road, there are 3 of you that are having heart challenge. Somebody is feeling a pain on the chest. Somebody's heart is shaking. It's shaking as we are breathing. It's shaking. Those afflictions are about to be corrected by the wave of the Spirit. Father, and people will not just be healed. Some of you will receive an anointing now to minister to the sick. Take that grace.
I just want to be with you.
I just want to be where you are. In your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place. Those of you here, take it in the name of Jesus.
I just want to be with you.
I want to be where you are. Dwelling in your presence. Feasting at your table. Surrounded by your glory, in your presence, that's where I always want to be.
I just want to be.
Those of you in front here, can you stretch your hands towards me?
I want to be with you.
You are going to receive a baptism of authority, honor, majesty, glory, dimensions of fire, such as I have. Take in the name of Jesus.
Take me to the place where you are. I just want.
Pastor Jerry, your time has come.
I want to be where you are.
Barahasta brahatila gasta. Zerakai, Zerakai, Zerakai. Zebra costa prata pirabanas.
Surrounded by your glory. In your presence.
That's
where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be you.
Those of you on this row, the Lord is putting, I told you, what God will do tonight is to put a mark of distinction on you. And I'm seeing God bring some of you here into economic power by the anointing. Father, from the front to the back, in the name of Jesus the Lord, take that unction. Help them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. The next 14 days, don't take it for granted. Some of you have not fasted before. Some of you have not prayed before. Listen, go and lock yourself up. Power is about to change hands in the spirit. Ordinations are about to be born over this house. On ground, online, wherever you are connected from, in the name of Jesus, come under the fire of the Holy Ghost. Take that fire. Thank you, Lord.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.